Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
One of the things I want to do is pull together all the information from the various investigations that have gone on, including on the Hill and in the department, and see if there are any remaining questions to be addressed.
And can you share with us why you feel a need to do that?
Well, for the same reason we're worried about foreign influence in elections, we want to make sure that during an election, I think spying on a political campaign is a big deal. It's a big deal.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
You're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred.
I don't, I guess you could, I think there's a spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Well, let me...
But the question is whether it was predicated, adequately predicated. And I'm not suggesting it wasn't adequately predicated, but I'd need to explore that. I think it's my obligation.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
That was this morning, the second day that Attorney General Barr was testifying before Congress, this time in the Senate subcommittee, similar subcommittee on appropriations, the budget. Really, the... was supposed to be testifying on the Department of Justice budget. Of course, it goes into the Mueller report. Not a lot of new information on that. Where there was new information was what you just heard. In exchange with Democrat Senator Jeanne Shaheen, the Attorney General of the United States says he thinks that there was, I mean, just a direct quote, I think there was spying on a political campaign. And it was specific. It's the Trump campaign. I think spying did occur. Question is whether it was adequately predicated. Was there justification for the FISA warrants? Was there justification for what Peter Strzok did based off a Steele dossier? And was that the justification for it? If that's all the justification there was, then likely it was not something that was adequately predicated. He was asked even later on, does this mean people are going to be criminally prosecuted? And I think the Attorney General, he's very clear. It doesn't necessarily mean people will be criminally prosecuted. It could be that new rules need to be put in place. It could be that, you know, like we've already seen from Andrew McCabe and Peter Strzok that there were personnel changes. People lost their jobs. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go to jail. But he didn't also close the door to that. And this is the very early stage. The Attorney General is just letting Congress know he believes, based on everything he knows, and he didn't go into a lot of facts there, but I think we've laid those out a number of times. He knows exactly what we know and more. And what we've talked about this broadcast is based on the unmasking, based on the dossier, based off the Bruce Orr contacts with Peter Strzok, based on the text messages, based off Andrew McCabe's behavior, based off Jim Comey's behavior as well. That you put all of that together, was it politically motivated spying by a law enforcement agency in the United States? And he says, I think spying did occur on the Trump campaign. We'll play the bites for you. I want to take your calls on this. How big of a deal is this to you to hear this? Not from a politician, not from a senator, but from the Attorney General of the United States. Not the acting Attorney General, not the recused Attorney General, not the deputy Attorney General, but the Attorney General of the United States who is duly confirmed by the U.S. Senate and someone who has already had that position before. And I think is so tempered in his remarks that to make a statement like this is a big deal. So we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. How important is it to you to hear this from the Attorney General and know that the Department of Justice is now doing its job, that it will look at all of this potential wrongdoing that we have thought has undermined this entire investigation from the very beginning? And again, I want to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. We'll play more sound for you from the hearing, which is ongoing now. The Attorney General, this is day two. So this is new testimony. He was testifying before the House subcommittee yesterday. Today it's the Senate subcommittee, and we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Politically motivated spying on one presidential campaign in the United States of America. As the Attorney General said today, it reminds him of the spying on the civil rights movement. It reminds him of the spying on the anti-war movement. But will the same people who objected to that now try to, you know, close their eyes to this wrongdoing? We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. Let's hear the Attorney General's own words when he says, I believe that there was spying on the Trump campaign, that the government spied, not the other campaign. You know, he's talking about his own agency now that he oversees, FBI, DOJ, and then there's potential wrongdoing there, and that he wants to investigate that. Take a listen to the first question that led to it. Now, it's interesting that the line of questioning was from a Democrat who was trying to get him to back off, actually, and say, you listen closely because this is Gene Shaheen. You don't really think there was spying. And it ultimately gets to that. But listen to how it started by 15.
News just broke today that you have a special team looking into why the FBI opened an investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 elections. I wonder if you can share with this committee who's on that team, why you felt a need to form that kind of a team, and what you intend to be the scope of their investigation.
As I said in my confirmation hearing, I am going to be reviewing both the genesis and the conduct of intelligence activities directed at the Trump campaign during 2016. A lot of this has already been investigated, and a substantial portion of it has been investigated and is being investigated by the Office of Inspector General at the department.
No, stop right there. I mean, we know, Harry, from that, that's in reference. Yesterday, the Attorney General confirmed that the Inspector General's report on FISA abuse. So to get to the unmasking, you had to have the warrants to surveil. We know that that was there because even in our lawsuit that we filed, the FOIA request we filed, we knew that the unmasking requests were put in for Trump transition officials. So that the FISA report will cover from the IG a significant portion of this potential wrongdoing.
Absolutely. And so in addition to all that you have suggested, we should also keep in mind that a former Attorney General Loretta Lynch and James Clapper basically changed the rules for the dissemination of raw signals intelligence. What did that do? It made it more likely that people, A, would be unmasked, and B, that the information would be leaked. We also know that FISA warrants were issued, that Susan Rice and Samantha Power engaged, at least from news reports, in unmasking. And we also have a raft of characters that include Andrew McCabe, who was fired for lying, James Comey, who owed a higher loyalty to one thing only, himself, and a number of other actors. So there is clearly a basis for a sustained investigation. And we also know that in June of last year, DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz issued a report, and among the key conclusions and takeaways were that senior FBI officials connected to both the Russia counterintelligence investigation and the Clinton email investigation engaged in political bias favoring one political candidate over another. That provides a basis, if you will, a predicate for political spying aimed at President Trump. This indeed confirms what President Trump said more than 2 years ago, that his campaign was the subject of wiretapping. So I think the evidence is certainly mounting up that there was something nefarious going on at both the DOJ and the FBI, and this calls forth an investigation which may or may not lead to criminal penalties for the actors involved.
And let's go, again, continue the line of questioning. So Attorney General Barr continues to say what he's doing here, and then Gene Shaheen keeps pushing. Again, so it's between him and a Democrat senator today. This happened just an hour and a half ago, if you're live with us on the air, Byte 16.
One of the things I want to do is pull together all the information from the various investigations that have gone on, including on the Hill and in the department, and see if there are any remaining questions to be addressed.
And can you share with us why you feel a need to do that?
Well, for the same reason we're worried about foreign influence in elections. We want to make sure that during an election, I think spying on a political campaign is a big deal. It's a big deal.
And this is where she said, wait, spying? You don't really think spying occurred, do you? Listen, Byte 18.
You're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred.
I don't. I guess you could. I think there's spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Well, let me.
But the question is whether it was adequately predicated. And I'm not suggesting it wasn't adequately predicated, but I'd need to explore that. I think it's my obligation.
What he's saying is he's not taking it for granted, and he's not taking anything that happened before his tenure began.
No.
And she was expecting him to kind of push back and say, nah, not necessarily, or I don't want to go that far today. And instead, he says the opposite.
Yes.
And this was a Democrat senator. I think she walked herself right into it with this.
Yeah, he stuck it right in her face, so to speak, what happened. She asked the question she wanted to know. You don't really mean that, do you? And he says, well, yes, I think spying did occur. Oh, my goodness, I shouldn't have asked the question. Bad prosecutor. Never ask a question that you don't know the answer to. And so what she did. And then, of course, he, as he should, said, that's my thought, that's my belief. But the question is whether it was adequately predicated. Well, you know, that means was there a really good basis in law and fact to engage in the spying. Now, they made a big deal about spying and foreign influence in the Mueller report, which exonerated the president entirely from any collusion. Let's now talk about some domestic spying. And that's what the attorney general is saying. You wanted to talk about foreign spying. That's fine. And we did that. And we did that exhaustively. Now I want to talk about some domestic spying. And I'm going to look into that.
Yeah. And then again, we filed in this back in 2017 in federal court for a request on the unmasking requests that were made by the Obama administration officials the very end of President Obama's term, 2016, when they were requesting information on Trump transition officials. So we know it continued, too, obviously, this surveillance, and that it was widespread. And then the president, you know, he got mocked when he said, you know, my campaign was being wiretapped. And now that's being confirmed. The attorney general just confirmed that for you today. All he's saying is whether or not it was even, you could make a case for it being legally done. He confirmed for you today that the Trump campaign was being spied on by the U.S. government. Okay, so the FBI, and whether you wanted to talk about Carter Page as being outlying figures and not really official, no, he made a broad statement today. The Trump campaign was being spied on. The only questions left is, was it based on anything legal at all? Or was it all based on a phony dossier? Than, how big of a deal? In Washington, D.C., these subcommittee hearings on the budget usually aren't a big deal. They're not something that everybody's paying really close attention to. And you get some new senators involved who are not the normal faces of the most contentious hearings. It's not the Judiciary Committee. So you get some new senators involved in this public back and forth. Maybe they don't know what they're backing themselves into because they're not as used to the questioning being so public. And they're trying to, you know, put the attorney general in these positions, and they end up making news like this.
Yeah, well, first of all, Jordan, I think it was a very big deal because it came from the attorney general. I actually think that Senator Shaheen probably went into it fairly thoughtfully. I'm not so sure that Senator Schatz did later. He actually came back and tried to give the attorney general another opportunity to clarify, and the attorney general essentially said, no, I meant exactly what I said. There was spying. There was unauthorized surveillance. Call it whatever you want, but the question is, what was the motive? And Jordan, I'll tell you this. I actually had a great sense of relief, and I think the American people will as well, because we've been looking at this from the outside, and we have seen essentially three things. We see something that looks like spying, you know, the FISA surveillance of Carter Page. We see that it looks like it was initiated by law enforcement officials that have a political agenda. Remember the insurance plan text and the text messages about, we'll stop Donald Trump from being president. And we see them using knowingly bad information to do it, Jordan. That's the dossier. We put all those things together, and we wonder why in the world the Department of Justice is not admitting the bare facts that we see and looking into it. So then we see the attorney general admitting the facts on the ground and saying, look, I am going to make sure that those kind of abuses don't happen again. I'm going to find out who's responsible, and I'm going to root them out. Jordan, more than anything, there's a lot of political theater here, but more than anything, I'm just relieved that the bad actions that we've seen for a number of years now are finally coming to light.
I am too. I want to go right to the phone. Well, actually, wait, Carrie, we'll take your phone call. We come back for the break. We are taking your phone calls on this 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll play for you as well what Dan was commenting on there, because a Republican senator, Brian Schatz, he came back, a Democrat senator, and he said, you need to be careful about using terms like spying. What will people say? And the attorney just said, you can call it whatever you want. But unauthorized surveillance, is it predicated on any law or not? I mean, this is it's a huge deal, folks. And I think what you're hearing, the Democrats are nervous that this isn't being handled by some, you know, outside secretive special counsel. It's actually being done by the Department of Justice. Oh no, they could be exposed, and their friends from the past administration could be exposed as well. I mean, we talk about the big names, but they all have staffs as well. I mean, think about Susan Rice and her staff, Samantha Powers and her staff. So it's a lot of people to look at. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Just as we were going into the break, Than referenced the parts. So the Attorney General this morning said, I think spying did occur on the Trump campaign. He said that under oath in a Senate testimony today. This is different from the testimony yesterday. That was before the House. This is before the Senate. And then he was asked by this Democrat senator from Hawaii, are you sure you want to say spying? Because that senator knew exactly what would happen if you say spying. Exactly what's happening right now. Wait, people are going to talk about this. If you say this, Attorney General, are you sure you don't want to walk this back a little? Because, you know, those talk radio shows, cable news going to light up because the Attorney General of the United States said they were spying on a campaign, which, by the way, everyone has already acknowledged occurred. There was surveillance because there was unmasking and there was Carter Page. So we all knew there was spying. It's just, you don't like calling it that? So take a listen to this exchange.
Do you want to rephrase what you're doing? Because I think the word spying could cause everybody in the cable news ecosystem to freak out. And I think it's necessary for you to be precise with your language here. You normally are, and I want to give you a chance to be especially precise here.
I'm not sure of all the connotations of that word that you're referring to, but, you know, unauthorized surveillance. I want to make sure there was no unauthorized surveillance.
Okay, thank you.
Is that more appropriate in your mind?
If you looked up spying, it's surveillance, covert surveillance. I mean, it's the term. This is, again, Democrats, I think, are scared that someone serious like Attorney General Barr, who's had the position before, Andy, is the one looking at this. He's not a former senator. He's not a former politician. He's not an acting attorney general, and he's had the job before, and he doesn't get flustered by Patrick Leahy's questioning or some junior senator's questioning.
Right. I mean, you know, we now have, and I mean this with all due respect to the prior incumbent in the office, but we now have a real attorney general who knows and is not afraid to confront these senators. And when Schatz from Hawaii said that, he said, no, I meant what I said. You want to call it unauthorized surveillance, that's fine. And then in response to Shaheen, he said it's spying. However you look at it, it's covert, illegal snooping on domestically motivated FBI misusing a FISA court surveillance on the presidential campaign of Donald Trump and subsequently in an attempt to undermine his administration. And I believe that Bill Barr is the one to do this, and it should be done internally at Justice. It doesn't need to be farmed out. We've had enough farming out. It can be done by the people in Justice Department, and I think it's going to be done, and I think we are going to get to the bottom of it through this attorney general.
Let's go to the phones. If you want to talk to us on the air, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on JSecuo Live. That's 1-800-684-3110. Your questions, your comments as well. How big of a deal do you think this is that the attorney general has confirmed this, that he believes there was spying and that this will be investigated by the Department of Justice? This is the Comeys, the McCabes, the Strzoks, the Lisa Page, all of those individuals, the unmasking that was done by Susan Rice and Samantha Powers, by Obama administration officials as well. Let's go to the phones. Karen, Arizona, on line one. Welcome to JSecuo Live.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks,
can you
Karen.
Hear me?
Yep, you're on the air.
Okay. I have two things to say. One, last week led perfectly into this week, talking about the illegal immigration and what the Democrats' end goal is. They're trying to increase the voting electorate, and I need to call on my fellow Americans to be aware of that, because we need to protect our voting American electorate, and they should be legal citizens. What we're getting right now is a very good perspective. We're going to need to go into the 2020 election with our eyes wide open. This is what an unchecked Democrat presidential administration looks like. Their questions are giving us clues as to what their goal is. Instead of celebrating a democratically elected president not being found guilty, and instead of being very concerned that the civil rights of citizens were abused in the FISA court, their goal is to erode the confidence of the people of their democratically elected president.
Oh, yeah, they've continued to do that. I think that they're so concerned that they have no shot in 2020 as well, that they're in such disarray as a party. Remember, this is a party that could not hold a vote on a budget. in the House of Representatives because of the left and the moderate stand. I mean, that just happened. That doesn't get as much attention as it would if it was Republicans, because if it was Republicans, they'd be talking all about dissension in the ranks, and you've got these, you know, the Freedom Caucus won't agree with the, you know, the leadership, and yet that just happened to Nancy, you know, strong, tough. She's such a so good at what she does. Nancy Pelosi couldn't have a vote on a budget because of her own party.
Yeah, we're going to deem budgets for the next couple of years because you can't get one through the even just the House of Representatives, Jordan, not to mention negotiating with the president or a Republican Senate. But look, I think that politically that the caller has it exactly right. They feel better off just opposing the president rather than putting their own policy ideas forward, because those policy ideas are not popular with the American people. But Jordan, I do want to circle back to what the attorney general said, because I think it is even more significant that it comes from a man who is generally so tempered. I think he did it intentionally so. And then he told the senator, he said, call it whatever you want, but the bottom line is this. We do not want American citizens spied on without a very good reason. And by the way, political animus, a disdain for someone who's running for president, Jordan, that is not a good reason. And I'm going to get to the bottom of it. I think that's why he used a word that direct.
And I also believe that he is talking specifically about the individuals we've been talking about. And he made that clear. He's not talking about some random people. This was kind of like how the Obama administration tried to say it wasn't the real IRS officials in D.C. It was the low-level officials. And again, he got that kind of pushback again. The FBI, maybe there was just, you know, some, it wasn't all done right. It wasn't all done appropriate. And he put that to rest, too, that this was the group of leaders in Washington. Take a listen from the Attorney General by 20.
I also want to make clear, this is not launching an investigation of the FBI. To the extent there were any issues at the FBI, I do not view it as a problem that's endemic to the FBI. I think there was probably a failure among a group of leaders there at the upper echelon.
So he's already making that statement, too. I believe there was probably a failure of a group of leaders there at the upper echelon. Jim Comey, Andy McCabe, Peter Strzok. These are the top three of the top four. James Baker, which came out today in some of his testimony that he gave, how concerned he was when he just read a couple of the text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. I mean, these are if you're those individuals today, you've already lost your jobs. You've been questioned by both sides of the aisle, if you're Jim Comey and you haven't really had these comebacks that you thought you were going to have, I would be pretty concerned today if you're Peter Strzok or Andy McCabe that this is serious.
I think that is correct. And I agree with Andy's earlier comment. The Democrats and their animus against this president are now being hoisted on their own petard. Jordan, keep in mind that the Democrats have focused their attention on a largely fictional foreign collusion effort. Now we know that there is no evidence of collusion, and that's after an exhaustive investigation. Now clear evidence is emerging that there was collusion domestically, including the leadership potentially of the FBI and the DOJ.
All right, folks, we've got a second half hour coming up. You don't want to miss that. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I want your comments on this. How important is it to you to have the Attorney General making the statement like this? I think, especially in light of all this Mueller report and the Democrats kind of chomping at the bit, hoping they can find something within there that the Attorney General didn't find and the special counsel didn't find, but that they can seize on for political purposes that aren't actually legal purposes. And then they got this today. 1-800-684-3110. Spying, and it was done by the Obama administration and their appointees, and that it's going to be investigated.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
You're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred.
I don't, I guess you could, I think there's a spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Well, let me.
The question is whether it was predicated, adequately predicated. And I'm not suggesting it wasn't adequately predicated, but I'd need to explore that. I think it's my obligation.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
There you go. Those are the words of the Attorney General of the United States this morning, under oath, questioning the U.S. Senate. I think spying did occur on the Trump campaign, and we have to look at whether it was adequately predicated. You got pushback from another Democrat senator on, do you really want to say it's spying? And he said, you call it unauthorized surveillance if you want, if you like that better, because that senator knew this would explode, as it has in the news. Now, it's not breaking news in the sense that we didn't know anything about this. I think it's finally we're hearing it from not politicians, not from reporters. It's not an acting attorney general. It's the U.S. attorney general. It's not the deputy. You know, I mean, we've gone for a long period of time without really having the attorney general of the United States speak to these issues. A long time. I mean, Jeff Sessions was recused immediately, so as a deputy AG. And then when that short period, you had an acting attorney general, really not their role to step in and launch an investigation they're not going to be able to finish. And so I think it's very important today. I want to go right to the phones. Gary from Virginia is calling in on line one. We want to take your questions and comments this second half hour, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Gary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Thanks, Gary.
This is pretty important to me, like you said, what our comments are. I've really lost trust in the government. I love the country. My question is, where does the investigation go in terms of figuring out who the spies are and the spying? Can you go into detail about what the next steps are, who's going to do it? Because honestly, the cynic in me is wondering, like, who's to say deep staters aren't going to be part of this investigation?
Well, I think because it's going to come from the top, the Attorney General of the United States. First, listen to Attorney General Barr, and then I'll go to our team on this by 21.
I feel I have an obligation to make sure that government power is not abused. I mean, I think that's one of the principal roles of the Attorney General.
And he said he has some colleagues in mind, Andy. These are going to be people that are direct reports to the Attorney General of the United States. So they're not going, they likely are confirmed or people that he's already known. So long-term officials that he has a relationship with at DOJ, whether it's a specific U.S. attorney that's been confirmed or a head of a division that's been confirmed by the Department of Justice. So I don't think we have to worry about the individuals he's going to put on this specific issue trying to undermine it.
No, I think that he's got in mind, because he is a very experienced officer of the United States, formerly Attorney General under President, one of the Bushes, I don't remember which. But he's probably got a team in mind from within the Justice Department, as you say. It could be people at Maine Justice. It could be United States attorneys around the country that he's got confidence in, that are apolitical, that are prosecutors, that understand how you make and conduct an investigation. And he's probably going to call upon them and say, look, I want you to go out there and start asking some hard questions and do the things that you normally do to determine whether or not domestic spying occurred. So, and I have confidence in Attorney General Barr that I didn't have in some other political officials that were appointed. But I feel that he's going to go to the rank and file of the Justice Department's main people who do this kind of work and who know how to do it and get to the bottom of the situation.
All right, we come back. We'll continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll focus in, too, on what the ACLJ has been doing on this issue, because it's not something we've just been talking about here on the broadcast over these last few years. And that's how long it's been, a few years. Finally, the Department of Justice looking into this. I mean, it's been a long time coming. Certainly wasn't going to happen in the Obama administration. And then Jeff Sessions stepped out. Didn't think Rod Rosenstein was going to be the person who was going to probably lead this as a deputy AG at the same time as overseeing special counsel. And now that that is all done and we have an attorney general in place, it's finally being looked at. The steps that were taken by the Jim Comeys, the Andy McCabes, the Peter Strzoks, the dossier, all that information. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I did want to talk about, too, how we've been involved in this at the ACLJ for a long time in federal court as well on this issue of the surveillance that was done, spying, as you could call it, from the Attorney General, and whether it was unauthorized, whether it was predicated on any basis of law that you could even justify what was done, or was it based off the Steele dossier, completely this, you know, manufactured salacious info. And now that's being investigated by the DOJ. And the Attorney General spoke to this issue, too, of how important Congress usually deems, I think he was making a statement there to the Democrats, usually is so concerned about government surveillance, usually is so concerned about surveillance of Americans because of their political purposes. It dates back really to the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. So the civil rights movement, the anti-war movements, the Vietnam era, the era of, again, the civil rights movement, too, and the student groups that were formed. And take a listen to the Attorney General as well. It's not just the FBI that does this surveillance. Remember, we have NSA involved. We have lots of other agencies involved in this that now also get access to the intelligence that's gathered. Take a listen.
Generation I grew up in, which was the Vietnam War period, you know, people were all concerned about spying on anti-war people and so forth by the government. And there were a lot of rules put in place to make sure that there's an adequate basis before our law enforcement agencies get involved in political surveillance. I'm not suggesting that those rules were violated, but I think it's important to look at that. And I'm not talking about the FBI necessarily, but intelligence agencies more broadly.
And that's something we've been looking at, too. And we've been in federal court over, going back to 2017. Abby Sutherland's joining us, a senior counsel with the ACLJ. Abby, we've got a FOIA that's in this report I've got in front of me here. We've got that tabbed. But we went back to some of the Obama administration. We filed in federal court versus the NSA and Department of State because it was reported publicly that the National Security Advisor at the time for President Obama, Susan Rice, and the UN ambassador at the time, which is not someone you would typically imagine would have this role, but was a cabinet official under the Obama administration, Samantha Power, made these unprecedented requests to unmask the names at the time of Trump transition, so post-campaign officials. And what they characterized as, I think at the time period, it was characterized as incidentally caught up in electronic surveillance. Now it appears from what the Attorney General said, it was not so incidental. But we also filed, you know, these unmasking requests that came in at the very end of the Obama administration.
Yes. Yeah, so mid-2017, we issued FOIA requests to both NSA and the State Department. And predictably, they drug their heels, failed to produce responsive documents, and we had to follow up with a lawsuit in order to force them to start producing responsive documents.
Yeah, I'm sure people hear, you know, filing a FOIA with the NSA is not going to be a simple process. They think that everything that they do is should not be subject to at least public oversight. But so where does it stand now today?
So where it stands now is we've received over a year's worth of documents from State Department. And as you correctly noted, NSA has essentially refused to produce almost any documents, claiming that under a specific FOIA exemption, they can neither admit or deny the existence of any documents.
They can't even admit if the documents exist. And so this gets back to the issue that what's happening today is that to kind of assist all of these efforts, whether it's ACLJ efforts, now that the Attorney General's looking at, they can't answer him that way. So that, and they're not going to answer the Department of Justice that way. So I think, we've kind of laid this out too, but now it's going to be internally done too. So I think that that helps, because the NSA is not going to answer the Department of Justice with, we can't confirm or deny.
Exactly. I will tell you, though, the documents that we have received confirmed what we believe to be true all along, which is that many of these unmasking requests were likely motivated by political bias. In fact, the documents, and we outline them in the quarterly report, but what these documents reveal is that specifically Samantha Powers was not a fan of the incoming president.
Yeah.
And she openly criticized him and his policies in emails to employees.
So, we have the info. So she's publicly critical. They're political appointees, but then they're potentially abusing their power. I mean, that's what we're really looking at here, is abuse of power for somebody that is in a very important role. Remember, at that time, it's no longer a cabinet position. The president can decide that. But it was a cabinet position under the Obama administration for Samantha Power. And it was, and then Susan Rice, as national security advisor, was already in trouble with her statements on many issues and very controversial. It is why she ultimately likely did not become a confirmed member of the Obama administration after she served as UN ambassador and then going back to that role as NSA, because though she was on track to become Secretary of State, had made so many misstatements publicly, got in trouble before with Congress. And so she also, as the national security advisor, doing it for political purposes on the Trump campaign, and it's supposedly incidental, it's a huge abuse of power.
It is. And the reason that we issued the FOIA request is because allegedly the unmasking requests were voluminous and unprecedented, yeah, which immediately signals that there was ill will behind the unmasking request. And so when we issued the FOIA request, we listed a host of names that we believe to be unmasked. And of course, their response is, we can't admit or deny,
yeah,
that these documents exist, and we refuse to produce them.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard it's the officials, family members of the Trump campaign. I mean, this big issue. And Than, in Washington, if the shoe was on the other foot, this would be Watergate on its own. I mean, this would be the Obama administration's Watergate scandal. And it was completely overlooked by Democrats. They weren't going to be able to do more than congressional investigations to begin with. I think that they were overwhelmed with the amount of info that was coming through, and also the moving forward into a new administration. But they are very nervous about this obviously being looked at by Bill Barr. And they keep trying to recharacterize how he's looking at it or what he's doing. What kind of committee are you putting together? Who you have doing this? I mean, this all coming from the Democrats. They seem very nervous.
Jordan, this whole town would be turned upside down if the shoe were on the other foot. There's just no two ways about it. And look, I think our listeners really need to zoom out and look at these two issues that you're talking about as one issue. Because, Jordan, when I look at them and I look at the spying that the Attorney General is talking about, or the unauthorized surveillance, whatever you want to call it, the spying on an American citizen, then you look at these hundreds of unmasking requests that are involved in the FOIA suit that we've had going on for a couple of years. Jordan, it's one thing for the National Security Advisor to be doing that, but when the United Nations ambassador is doing hundreds of unmasking request, and then you put it in context with what we know today. Jordan, I think you have to ask the question, was this a government-wide effort by the last administration to spy on the incoming administration? And I know that sounds like a conspiracy theory, but when you put these pieces of information together, Jordan, that's what it looks like to me. It looks like to me that all of the agencies of the federal government were being used in whatever capacity and authorities they could get their hands on to find out information to undermine the new administration. Jordan, that is not the way we do business in the United States of America. They're supposed to be peaceful transitions of power, and the outgoing administration is supposed to at least help the incoming administration come into power, not thwart their authority before they come in. Jordan, I think you have to look at these things as one issue. Were all of the agencies using whatever they could get their hands on to undermine the incoming president?
So, Abby, as this continues, I mean, this is ongoing. This lawsuit is ongoing. So, I mean, this was one that's been a couple years in the making.
It is, and we're actually coming up on a deadline. We believe that all of the documents that state is voluntarily willing to provide is coming to an end in May. And so we will then be evaluating and assessing whether we think, one, an adequate search has been conducted, yep, and two, whether the documents have actually, the ones that have been withheld, whether they've been properly withheld under federal law.
Okay. So again, we're going to keep you updated, folks, on what the ACLJ has been doing on this issue. I think it's key. Andy, how important is it that now the federal government's doing it? It's kind of taking this role along. So it's not just, I mean, I think, listen, outside organizations, legal organizations have an important role to play. And we've gotten much more involved, as people can tell. I mean, this is just a quarterly report on FOIA. We have a new quarterly report coming out as well. We've gotten more and more involved in the FOIA world. I know Abby has been overseeing that over these last few years. So obviously outside legal groups play an important role, but there's something the Attorney General can do that we can't. We don't have prosecutorial power. That's the one thing that's very different, is we can't bring criminal charges against people. He can, and it's then I think everybody takes it a step more serious when it's not just civil.
Well, I think so. And this suit that we filed that Abby alluded to, I believe was filed in 2017, and it's now 2019, and we're still litigating it. And we have only limited abilities. We have to go through the civil processes and the courts and ask judges to enforce orders and to compel agencies to do things. But the Attorney General of the United States has a much bigger stick, and he can use it, I think, with greater efficacy than we can, although we are pursuing it and we do so diligently. But the Attorney General, once he makes this statement, I believe there is spying, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it. I believe he will, and I believe William Barr is the Attorney General to do it.
All right, folks, so we come back, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll also give you an update on Israel, too, what happened to the election there, which was kind of breaking into the last minute last night. Abby, we appreciate you being on to update us on our legal efforts to get this information on what was done by the Obama administration with this unlawful surveillance, what we believe is illegal surveillance of the Trump campaign, the Trump transition, and the unmasking that was done, unprecedented, at the end of the Obama administration. We'll continue to take your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Interesting what was going on with the Israeli elections. We've been talking about it, you know, significantly on the broadcast last week, leading up to it. Yesterday, an update with Johnny Daniels. And then now, as he predicted, Netanyahu would come out the favorite and have the opportunity first to put together a coalition government. Now, I will tell you, if you were watching the news carefully, getting breaking news alerts, the initial reports out of Israel when the polls closed last night there was that he may have lost. And then it may have been that new party that formed with the generals, and that what would this mean? And what his indictments and you know, I'd say it's like a mini version of here. And they were talking about how it was basically the news media trumping up this whole kind of issues and anti and this kind of feeling, and then ultimately the feeling that the news wanted to portray in Israel, their domestic news, didn't actually play out in the vote. And what ultimately occurred was that Prime Minister Netanyahu is now on his way to a historic fifth term in Israel as prime minister. You remember, he came back a second time to start this. And what's interesting there, which is pretty different from here, the majority of his votes are coming from people, you know, 50 and under. It's not like that it's an older group that's more conservative or to the right there in Israel, as they call this, the right coalition of the right wing parties or right leaning parties that he will build, but that it's young people as well that are behind this. So this is not like something that's short term, but it's long lasting. It's actually the older group there that's more moderate or to the left, and so you've kind of have that happening in Israel as well, which is you've got a more conservative majority coming up through the youth as well. So that, I think, what we're going to see there, and again, it's a coalition government that has to be put together, so that takes time. It doesn't happen in one day. But as President Trump said in congratulating Prime Minister Netanyahu, who is a good friend of his, they've worked very closely together, the Trump administration, the Netanyahu administration, Israel, that it appears that he's on his way to, again, another term as prime minister, putting together that coalition government. It seems like all the parties are there. All the partners are there as well. And so this is important, Andy, that we'll get back to the other issue as well with our attorney general, the spying on the campaign that he has confirmed today. But this is important when it comes to our foreign policy and our top ally in the Middle East.
Well, I think it confirms the correctness of the foreign policy that has been instituted by President Trump with respect to Israel. And I think that the respect that the President Trump has in Israel was kind of reflected in the victory of Netanyahu, because he embraced President Trump's policy. And I think that Netanyahu's statement with respect to what he expects to do with the West Bank, and that's a big step. That could be very provocative vis-a-vis the Palestinians, and the declaration with respect to the Golan Heights made by the president, I think, assisted Netanyahu in this victory. It's a coalition victory. That's how parliamentary democracies work. They don't work the way we do. But I think that this is a new face in Israel, and I saw a headline, I think, in one of the newspapers that says Israel's is now Netanyahu's and vice versa. And I think that this means a great deal. And I think your comment and observation that this came from a younger generation, his victory reflected the votes of a younger generation of voters, indicates, I think, that even they now recognize the existential threat that is posed to Israel by those who are surrounding it, and they better get with the program.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that when you look at President Trump and Prime Minister now together, this is going to explode in the Middle East, and there's all this violence, and the Palestinians won't come to take. And what have we seen? Instead, these steps taken, like you said, could be very provocative on the West Bank. And yet I think that what you see is that there is such a different level of respect for the United States, fear, healthy fear, by those who may oppose this in the past, that are afraid of what this administration follows through. When it says there's a red line, it's real, when it says we may put sanctions on you or we might put tariffs on you, we actually do. Even if you're China, even if you're, you know, the Assad government in Syria, we take those steps, whether it's through military action, financial penalties, whether you're Turkey. So we follow through, and I think that has changed how every other rational party, at least, has interacted with the U.S. and our allies. And I think that's part of exactly right, is that if Israelis who are voting domestically there for their domestic concerns thought that these policies were putting their lives in danger or more at risk, they would not have reelected Prime Minister Netanyahu. They would have rejected him, and by doing so, also like rejected the President Trump's foreign policy when it came to Israel, you know, moving the embassy, these acknowledgments like that, and making Jerusalem an issue like that, recognizing it as the capital of Israel. The interactions in Syria, whether it's the Golan Heights that we've also recognized. Remember, the U.S. recently did that just 10 days ago, recognized the Golan Heights as part of Israel. And encouraging other countries to do so, just like we did with Jerusalem as the capital. And then Prime Minister Netanyahu discussing the West Bank issue. So, again, I think very important. And we can cover it more, of course, as that progresses. But it appears that that relationship will remain on track, at least through the 2020 presidential election in the United States. You'll continue to have President Trump working side by side with our partner in Israel, which, again, whatever the people of Israel decided, the U.S. would continue to work with Israel. But I think that there's a very strong relationship there, obviously, between our president and their prime minister, who was reelected last night in Israel. Just to kind of go back and just confirm what we discussed today, I want to go to Than on this in Washington. Than, this idea, I mean, when it did explode on the news. The Democrat senator from Hawaii was right, and the attorney general was using the term that is correct, that there was a spying done. The truth is, though, that if you were someone like the ACLJ, and like Abby was talking about with our lawsuit, this was already a given that the surveillance was being done. And if you want to call it spying or surveillance and unauthorized, I mean, you can call it whatever you want. It is spying. It's unauthorized surveillance. We know it happened. And that's not in dispute by any of the parties, but the Democrats still want to act like it's some kind of conspiracy theory, even when it's coming out of the attorney general's mouth, or that it's brand new, that he's making news, really, in a sense, by confirming what has been confirmed in courts and confirmed by the FBI, by their own counterintelligence officials. They open up a counterintelligence investigation. Counterintelligence, Than, is spying.
Yeah, we were convinced. The American people were convinced. Multiple courts were convinced. But, Jordan, I think this is really the first time we've heard from the top law enforcement agency that they're going to do something about it. I mean, look, I think the biggest takeaway, the biggest shift today, Jordan, was the Department of Justice is no longer asking, did this happen? In fact, the Attorney General said, this did happen, and now I want to know why. Now, how do we find out why? How do we find out the motives? I think the Inspector General's report is going to be instructive, but I think even more instructive will be that team of resources inside the Department of Justice, led by the Attorney General, to get to the bottom of it. But Jordan, I really do think that is a significant shift inside the Department of Justice. The rest of the world, I think, was convinced that this happened. And quite frankly, Jordan, I'm also convinced about the political motivation. I know the Attorney General didn't go that far today, but I am relieved that he at least wants to get to the bottom of the motive. He's not asking, did it happen anymore? He is saying, it did happen, and I am going to find out why.
All right, folks. Lot to unpack there, and we'll continue to discuss it tomorrow, too, on Jay Sekulow Live. Stay updated, too, on our website, aclj.org. We continue to put up a lot of great new information there, as well as we're involved in this in courts, as we're involved with this so many different ways, and with Congress, our government affairs team. So stay updated with aclj.org. Remember, our matching challenge this month, the reason we're able to put together this FOIA report, which I'm holding in my hands, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, you see this is just for a quarter of the year. Is because of your support. That's why we have the teams in place that can fight these long-term battles with the federal government. And a great time to donate at aclj.org. You can double the impact of your donation. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.